Identifying goals and objectives. First and foremost, the surveillance program must meet requirements given by national and state regulations. Then, in addition to the needs of stakeholders, goals and objectives of a surveillance program are identified through a risk assessment. In order to prevent the spread of infectious agents and organisms, the IP must understand the risk factors that facilitate transmission in healthcare settings. Healthcare facility IPs can also review reports, scorecards, and publications distributed through public health departments to help inform their own risk assessments. Public health departments may conduct risk assessments themselves to allow for the identification of risk factors throughout the community as well. Risk assessment types include community-wide, facility all hazards, and IPC-specific. While the purpose of a risk assessment is to identify trends and interventions that will help prevent and control infections, it is the surveillance program's purpose to provide actionable information. In other words, the goal of risk assessments is to identify what needs to be done in the future to prevent or decrease the risk of infection and other adverse effects. The surveillance plan should include details specific to the facility and the findings of its risk assessment. A full understanding of the potential risks allows an IP to design a surveillance plan that captures information necessary for detecting outbreaks and to translate these findings into control measures for mitigating the transmission of infectious diseases. An understanding of core epidemiological concepts and principles gives the IP the ability to present both reactive and proactive recommendations. IPs may also assist emergency preparedness, emergency management, health departments, and other entities both internally and externally in performing/contributing to risk assessments. Key point. The primary goal for all surveillance programs is to prevent and control HAIs and improve patient outcomes. Surveillance goals and objectives are based on the findings in the facility's risk assessments. Note that all goals, big and small, should be SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. Doing so enhances the ability to successfully achieve goals and increases the ability to identify specific steps necessary to do so. We will now discuss a couple of risk analysis tools that may be useful to the risk assessment process. APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool. A partially completed example of the APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool is shown in Exhibit 2-2 and Exhibit 2-3. Note the areas to be assessed at the top. Probability of performance failure measures the likelihood of failure. Impact, clinical/financial/on resources, assesses the consequences of failure. Infection prevention systems measures the facility's ability to manage the given risk. Note also the various risk categories and specific risks of each. Exhibit 2-2, APIC IPC Risk Assessment Tool Example, page 1. Exhibit 2-3, APIC IPC Risk Assessment Example, page 2. Source, adapted from APIC. Note how a score of 7 or higher is considered a higher priority category. Note also that this tool scores the probability, likelihood, column as high equals 3, medium equals 2, low equals 1, and 0 equals 0, and the impact, consequences, column as high equals 3, moderate equals 2, and minimal equals 1, while the fourth column, infection prevention systems, is scored so that higher scores relate to less mature systems. Poor equals 3, fair equals 2, good equals 1, and excellent equals 0. This is because the third category is factoring in capability levels, which will mitigate the given risk to some degree. When the three categories are summed, or, in some circumstances, multiplied, better capabilities will result in lower net scores. Conversely, lower capabilities will indicate a higher priority. Organizational IPC capability should be assessed relative to the given line item. Failure mode and effect analysis, FMEA. Failure mode and effect analysis, FMEA, is a systematic, proactive method for evaluating a process to identify where and how it might fail and to assess the relative impact of different failures to identify the parts of the process most in need of change. FMEA is a preventive approach. The major components are failure, a lack of success, non-performance, non-occurrence, or breaking down and ceasing to function. It takes place when a system or part of a system performs in a way that is not intended or desired. Mode, the way of operating or using a system or process, or a way or manner in which a thing is done. A mode is the way or manner in which something, such as a failure, can happen. A failure mode is the manner by which something can fail. It generally describes the way failure occurs and its impact on a given process. Any step in a process can fail, and each failure may have a number of failure modes. Effects. The results or consequences of an action. Effects are the results of failure modes. They might be direct or indirect, long or short-term, or likely or unlikely. They are the result of the impact of a particular failure mode on the stability of the entire process or a portion thereof. A failure effect is the consequence that a failure mode has on the operation, function, or status of a process step. In healthcare, effects are typically classified according to the outcome of the process, that is, the impact it has on the recipient of care. Analysis. A detailed examination of the elements or structure of something, such as a process, substance, or situation, an FMEA team performs an analysis to determine possible failure modes and effects, the seriousness of the possible effects, and ways to eliminate or reduce failure risk and prevent harm. Part of the serious adverse and sentinel event investigation process may include conducting a FMEA. Teams use FMEA to evaluate processes for possible failures and to prevent them by proactively correcting said processes rather than reacting to adverse events after failures have occurred. This emphasis on prevention may reduce the risk of harm to both patients and HCP. FMEA is particularly useful in evaluating a new process prior to implementation and in assessing the impact of a proposed change to an existing process. The greatest strength of FMEA is that it helps in redesigning potentially problematic processes to prevent failures. Healthcare FMEA. From a risk assessment, the IP can prioritize initiatives to reduce or eliminate high-risk infections, the relative impact on the patient, and preventability so that they can focus their efforts on changes that can actually happen. Additionally, the IP may want to use healthcare FMEA, HFMEAA, to identify possible failure points and re-engineer or redesign processes. The HFMEAA helps the IP to identify and allow the organization to eliminate areas of liability from adverse patient outcomes, such as HAIs, patient injury, and death. Finally, the organization must include the IP's work and efforts in the overall strategic plan, which should examine whether the facility has in place ample IPC resources, equipment, and personnel to achieve a best practices standard of care. The United States Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, National Center for Patient Safety, created the HFMEAA for use in the healthcare industry. There are six main steps to the HFMEAA. Determine a process or topic to study. This is usually a process that has a high risk of harm if it fails. Convene an interdisciplinary team, IDT, with process or content experts. Develop a flow diagram that clearly identifies each step of the process as well as the steps of any subprocess. Brainstorm possible reasons the process may fail and rate each step using a Likert scale with a severity number and probability of failure. For example, the safety team may determine that when administering medications, storing similarly named drugs next to each other could result in patients receiving the wrong medications. The severity of this incident could result in severe harm to the patient, so the safety team would rate the severity of such an occurrence as high. They may also determine that the event is highly likely or probable. After rating failures and analyzing probabilities and occurrences, the safety team determines the actions necessary to eliminate any failures and redesign the process. Finally, the safety team identifies outcome measures to test the redesigned process. HFMEAA can be applied to a wide array of processes. For example, it can be applied to assess a facility's cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization processes and to establish which evaluation methods are most effective at improving outcomes. The tool can also be used to investigate circumscribed healthcare processes, such as ABX prescriptions, to identify potential mistakes along the chain of prescription, from pharmacy to patient. Exhibit 2-4 shows the worksheet for steps 4 and 5 from the HFMEAA tool, and Exhibit 2-5 shows the decision tree, a type of flowchart, for use in step 4. Exhibit 2-4. Worksheet for steps 4 and 5 of HFMEAA. Source: U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VH National Center for Patient Safety, Failure Mode and Effects Analysis, FMEA Tool. Exhibit 2-5, Decision Tree for Step 4 of HFMEAA. Source: U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the National Center for Patient Safety, Failure Mode and Effects Analysis, FMEA, tool. The Joint Commission's, TJC, standards mandate that healthcare organizations conduct an FMEA or HFMEA every 18 months in an effort to improve patient safety. Healthcare facilities that are not accredited by TJC may still choose to voluntarily comply with this standard, or may be subject to similar mandates from other organizations. Many organizations find that using an FMEA or HFMEA reduces the risk of adverse patient events and helps HCP proactively develop a systematic method to perform process improvement. No matter the modality used, documentation regarding the decision-making around elements on the risk assessment, that is, whether action is warranted or whether monitoring is deemed sufficient, is important and should be reevaluated alongside any updates made to the risk assessment or with regard to these tools. Assess and define the population. The risk assessment is then used to help define the population of interest, meaning, who is the surveillance plan going to be monitoring? To define the population of interest, use the information gathered during the risk assessment, facility-specific or region-specific, from a public health perspective, information, including the type of person served. Example, newborn, pediatric, adult, geriatric, healthcare services provided. Example, medical, surgical, rehabilitation, LTC, ambulatory care, long-term acute care, surgical and other invasive procedures performed, and the conditions and diseases present. By analyzing that information, the population of interest, or scope, can be defined and a time frame can be identified. Those decisions will help identify the methodology selected and the events that are being monitored. Selecting surveillance events to monitor. Many different events might be monitored in a healthcare facility setting. As a result, the selection of events to monitor is a consequential step in designing a surveillance program. It is crucial that an IP identify those events that are relevant to their facility. For example, an IP working at an ambulatory surgery center will consider different risks to their patient population than an IP working in long-term care. The IP must be able to design a surveillance plan and program specifically tailored to the facility in which they are working, one that sets priorities based on the results of the facility's IPC risk assessment and the infection risk factors of the population and is compliant with all mandatory reporting requirements or voluntarily adopted guidance. Doing so will ensure that the events subject to surveillance reflect organizational goals and objectives, the needs and demographics of the population, types of patients served and HCP, acuity of care, patient care processes, and services provided. Other important factors the IP should consider include availability of resources, personnel, financial, and technological, availability of the data required, and how to integrate and leverage existing performance improvement initiatives. It is common to monitor high-volume, high-risk events in a specific population. IPs should monitor events that have the potential to provide information that can be used to improve outcomes and infection prevention practices. There are many elements to consider when determining which events to surveil, for example, the relative frequency of the event, the cost or impact of the negative outcome, such as treatment costs, length of stay, functional status, quality of life, mortality, severity measures, and litigation and/or public relations risks. Customer needs. Example, priorities set by the healthcare team. The community served. Example, health needs of the patient population. The organizational mission and strategic goals. Microbiology data and/or antimicrobial use. Regulatory or accrediting body requirements.